Nightmares are not dreams.
Oh.
Nightmares are not dreams.
Okay, but you get them when you're, like, asleep, though, right?
Yes, but they are not dreams.
I mean, I agree to disagree. If that's okay. What are you? Are you a spoopy ghost? Well, are you a sexy spoopy ghost?
Maybe. Am I sultry? Do you want me to seduce you?
I mean, I'm like 10 years old, so I guess no. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Is that... Okay, we kiss. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. That'll make sense real quick, because we're going to talk about The Afterglow, is the film that we watched today. That's Dan. I'm Jared. Hi. Hey, Dan.
Hi.
How you doing there, bud?
Well, I watched The Afterglow.
You did? Hey, yes. Dan, I watched The Afterglow.
Wow. Are we going to talk about it?
We are definitely going to talk about it. Not to be confused with Afterglow. Or The Afterglow. Or the a million other films called The Afterglow. It's hard for me to hide how upset I am at this film. And I'm also mad at the movie agency. Da 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 da. It's the movie agency. Here's a film. Guys, the movie agency has really let me down on this one.
Well, so this is our third episode. Let's be clear here. We got three different emails from the movie agency, all with three separate sets of screeners.
Yeah.
The ones that Afterglow came from, it's the same director, I'm pretty sure, all of those films.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And this is the one, Dan, you picked this one. I picked The Mountain. I think I also picked Tony as well.
Yes. I picked Tony. Like, I was in agreement with Tony, for sure.
Yes. After this whole, like, month of the movie agency stuff, I think we will take a break, because we have other films we need to
But we're going cover. To return, because I do yes. want to see Necrologies. I do want to see... I actually really do want to
Is
see
Is that the anthology
Bastard Sword.
One?
Yeah, but I want to see The Bastard Sword, the one's 3 hours long.
Oh, god damn it, Dan. Of course you're going to make me watch a three-hour film.
I want to see it. I just... There's something that tells me that could be good. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. But how all of these films are like from the movie agency. A lot of them are foreign films from countries I've never seen movies from, like Albania.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I've seen an Albanian movie, and I freaking like that. So I'm into it. I love
Spain, I think. But it was
discovering new things.
It was spoken in English.
Yes. Yeah. So this movie was in English. That's the first mark against it. Spanish film, as Dan said, should have been in Spanish. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, I don't really... neither here nor there for me.
Okay. Dan, tell us about... Great conversation. No, I'm just kidding. Dan, please give us a 30-second elevator pitch of The Afterglow 2014.
Okay. Do you want the real 30-second elevator pitch, or do you want the pitch that was promised to me?
Give the promised one and then the real one.
Okay. So the promised one was about this guy... that basically has this strange fetish with dead people. Like, he only can get aroused, or he has he has a history with arousal in dead people. And I'm like, oh, that sounds taboo. Let's get
into
that.
Was that ever explained in the film?
No! But anyway, he gets involved with this girl who may or may not be like that. And they're supposed to have a burgeoning relationship. And that burgeoning relationship would imply that he makes her more dead in order to have more sex with her, I guess. But that doesn't ever happen. But we do get... He's a writer, and he has a weird dream nightmare about a ghost kissing him whenever he was 10 years old. And...
he was ghost molested, Dan.
Whatever.
Ghost molested.
Then he strikes up this relationship with this girl that was the last person to see his brother alive. And everybody around him says that she is not right.
The entire fucking film, people are telling him this lady is the Grim Reaper and he needs to get away from her. Everyone. Strangers. People he knows the best. Like... the actual film turns in on itself and says, you should not be with this lady. She is literally death personified. He's like, but I want to put my dick in it, man. What if I just put my dick in that 19-year-old? Okay, hold on. This guy is like in his 40s, right? Like, how old is this dude?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a middle-aged man, definitely a young woman.
It is a love affair with this 19-year-old and this way older guy. And then his brother was with this girl, who he was probably around the same age, I would think. He has no problems immediately boning this girl. I didn't buy the romance or any, like, there's so much of this film I didn't buy. If you can't tell, I fucking hate this movie.
This film is also,
I really dislike it.
This also is a slow burn movie. It was, the way I read the synopsis, it did not feel like it was going to be a slow burn. I thought it was going to be an intense, erotic thriller.
Yeah, me too.
But it turned out not to be. So if you read the synopsis, here's what you need to take away. If you read the synopsis and think, oh, this looks like it's going to be an interesting taboo thriller. No, it's not. There are some parts of the film that can save it and are interesting. But overall...
Really?
Wow. Overall, it's very hard to recommend this film to anybody.
Ooh, I'm a catty little bitch today. So me and Dan were talking a little bit off mic about this. Is we watched The Forgotten Mountain and this film back to back. Correct?
Yes.
So did that, here my first question is, did that have an effect on you, Dan?
Most
watching
likely.
The Forgotten Mountain and at the Afterglow?
Most likely. Because it's exhausting to watch, you know, these slow burn movies, especially whenever they don't really have a payoff.
Yes.
Like,
I felt like The Forgotten Mountain had a payoff and I was enjoying that slow burn. This one
agree
was
to disagree
infuriating.
With that.
Oh, no, it's fine.
No, it's not fine. We're fighting.
I wish you guys could see Dan's face. That was really good. He was so mad at me. He was like, oh no, Papa, what have I done? Oh no.
Anyway, I feel that what saved this film for me was the intrigue that surrounds. So it's not the camera. Like, the camera, I can take or miss, or give or take camera, give or take story, give or take anything.
That's all of it.
It's the interesting thing that the girl is. Like, the mystery that surrounds the girl.
I
clung to that like it was the only thing that was keeping me above water. Because it was.
But I think you figure out the mystery pretty fucking fast. Like, maybe not all of it, but you know, this girl is killing people by just existing. So, is she like a psychic vampire? Did you get any vampire vibes? Did anyone ever say that in this? Okay, the reason I bring this up is because there is a review on IMDb for The Afterglow. I will read some of it to you because I am confounded. And this speaks highly of a show I want to do called Smart Films for Interesting People, working title, where we conflate our feelings about a film and kind of make meaning where there is none. You know, it's like a spoof kind of review show on review shows, really. And this feels like if I just read this as an episode, it would be an episode. Okay. Here's the title. A Small Gem of Vampires.
Okay.
The Afterglow. A small gem of vampires that traps us in a hypnotic narrative telling a story of impossible love. In line with films like Let the Right One In, The Afterglow becomes one of those cult movies that reviews the vampire genre with the elegance of Murnau and Herzog. I thought you'd like that. Intelligently structured, the script maintains a sense of tension, guiding us through a series of events, each increasing the suspense throughout the film with carefully chosen minimalist dialogues. Yeah, real minimalist. The treatment of the atmosphere, characters, aesthetics lead us to an internal question of the characters, alluding to classic expressionist themes such as the state of the soul, fears, fantasies, and dreams. I could go on.
But
the pretentiousness is so high, I feel like I'm drowning.
Well, did you see who signed off on it? Because I'm reading it now, too.
Oh, it's a screenwriter.
it's not the screenwriter of the movie, but it's a screenwriter in general.
Oh, I thought it was the screenwriter of the film.
No. I did too at first, but then I double checked and looked at it.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
This
I was really going for vampires, and if you guys didn't get it, then I guess it's just on you.
Where is the fucking vampires? Who has to actually say they are a screenwriter in brackets next to their name? Like, who gives a shit? This is one of two films this person has reviewed, by the
way. Hold on. The Afterglow becomes one of those cult movies that reviews the vampire genre with elegance of Murnau and Herzog. You know who Murnau and Herzog are?
I know who Herzog is. I don't know
who Murnau is the Murnau. First guy who made Nosferatu. And Herzog is the guy who remade Nosferatu.
This is nowhere near what any of those films are. In no relation. Gosh. Oh, just... I'm glad you didn't catch the vampire thing either, because I had no fucking idea what this review was talking about. Do you have any questions for me, Dan? We're still doing questions.
Okay.
I know. Jared, let's get the fuck out of... Switch gears.
Here's a question for you, my friend.
Sure. Sure.
Let's put you in a situation.
Okay. I love
you
being
are,
put in situations.
You are a writer. You're a famous writer.
Okay. True story.
And... What do you
I fucked the ghost. I fucked the ghost.
Okay. Okay, good. You answer my question. Perfect.
I have sex with a ghost.
I was going to say, what do you do for a living?
I rest on my laurels.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. Like, you would think that this insane woman who has this mystery that's surrounding her would inspire and be like a muse to a writer. But... he never once writes. All we know is he has written a book that little girls love.
Well, that teen girls love, I guess. And he keeps having people quoting. So this people quote his own book to him. He gets weirded out by it. He has dreams within dreams. Sometimes characters disappear and reappear. There's like a ghost man who's like bothering him. I thought that was supposed to be his brother, but then he's like, who are you? So... I don't know if that ghost man is ever explained, but it's just, it's all the characters are in service of the main character to tell him that his 19-year-old girlfriend is going to kill him.
Yes.
And he just completely ignores all that
shit.
Dying
of cancer.
Yeah.
Including, who else told him that? Oh, the woman that has the son who came in contact with the...
Yeah.
The death woman.
Mm-hmm. A best scene in the film, by the way, she sees that guy in the wheelchair and goes, hey, I know you. And she like goes to touch him.
And he
gets so afraid he pisses himself.
In the library. I mean, come on.
In a library? Come on. I mean, at least he did it quietly. That was my favorite scene.
My favorite scene.
I don't
too.
Know why it happened.
Jared, do you have a question for me? Because I feel like you have quite a bit.
Oh, boy. What was the tone of this movie?
Well, the tone is definitely not thriller.
Okay.
As it is pitched.
Yes.
Let me get to the IMDb page here. Yeah, drama, horror, thriller. No,
none of those are in
drama.
This.
Yeah,
maybe
I mean,
drama.
It's very, very much a drama film. But what really sets it apart from other dramas is the fact that it doesn't necessarily have a cohesive plot. I had a very hard time understanding where the film was going at any given moment.
I had a hard time caring about where the film was going at any given moment. If you look at the cover for this film on IMDb, it shows like a shirtless dude. He's like looking profile, you know, like back over his shoulder. And then you have the 19-year-old girl ghost or whatever she is. She's like digging her fingers into his back and she's looking directly at you. And it gives me like vibes of like a succubus type of
Exactly.
Like a sexy...
But what you get instead is this woman who you know nothing about and you continue to know nothing about besides what everybody thinks of her. But then her behavior is so strange. Like, at the very beginning, whenever you start to realize who this... Like, basically, let's get into spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to spoil this movie.
So... What starts everything, like the climax that starts everything, not the climax, but the rising action is this woman is, she jumps out of the window and almost dies and they bring her back. And the writer is like, okay, you're the last person to see my brother alive. I want to get to know you more and just try to figure out what's going on. But she has amnesia. She can't say anything. So he takes her away from the hospital and slowly nurses her back to health to try to find something out about what happened to his brother. Anything at all is what he's looking for.
How estranged was he from his brother? Like, how did he not know his brother was sick?
I don't know.
And I feel like
if he was that estranged, why did he care that much in the first place?
Yeah, and like, why would he like try to help this lady so much? He doesn't even know. I don't know. I just feel like he did. His seemed like his sole motivation was to just bone this young girl, like, from the get-go.
The woman that is dying of cancer was his ex-student.
Yeah. But she aged out.
Yeah.
Because he is a predator. Boy, oh boy. I mean, what else is there to say? Like, I can't even think of a scene. It's just like he has a dream. Oh, here's what I want to make fun
of. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Before you go,
sure.
I feel like we're missing something here. I want to know what we are missing, because this film, granted, it's only out of 11 people, but this film has earned a 7.4 out of 10.
No,
IMDb.
I reject that reality.
So
I reject that reality.
I have no idea. I just don't know. I just don't know.
I reject that reality. Did you feel like the Laura is her name?
Yes.
Who is like the succubus lady or whatever. Did you feel like she had like a split personality? Or was it just bad writing? Because at certain points she was like super evil to people. Remember when she met the cancer lady and she like goes real close to her? She's like, hello. Like really close to her face. Kisses her on the cheek twice, and then she, like, falls down, like, almost dead. And she's like, oh, no, did I do that? And then later on, she's totally normal. She's, like, caring and kind and nice. It's, like, really mixed. And then when they do the hypnotism thing, where they try to hypnotize her, she gets all evil then, too. She's like, I was gonna kill him, and then, I just felt like it was all over the place. You think it was intentional?
I hope it wasn't, because I, like I said, I had a really hard time following this film. There's not that much going on. That's what it was. It was not something that I needed to pay attention to per se. It was more that the film, it didn't show enough of its cards. Like, I didn't know how to gamble with it because I couldn't figure out what it had.
I mean, I was just so repelled from the screen. I wanted to look anywhere else. I was looking, I was like reading the IMDb page. I was.
Well, it has, I'll tell you, you want to know something. You want to know what I did? So the screener we got was English with Spanish subtitles. So I was practicing Spanish.
Oh, nice. Oh, another thing I want to bitch about. The reason I was talking about it, I was upset at the movie agency is because they sent us a screener.
A low-res screener, yeah.
It literally says low-res in it. This is a screener. It was like at 240p. How am I supposed to watch a fucking movie at 240? I know this is like some first world bullshit that I'm saying
You're
now.
Watching
like,
it for free.
Oh, wah-wah, Dan and Jared watching this movie for free. Like, listen, okay. They send these movies for free, and then we review them. That's part of the deal. Like, If they were like, hey, you have to, because like, I went to try to find other ways to watch this film. Couldn't do it. The only other way is you'd have to pay $6 for this movie. And there's no fucking way I was going to pay $6 for this film. I'm glad I didn't. but like, come on. What the fuck? Who sends a 240 low res screener for anyone? Like, why? Why would you even make a 240 low
you
risk?
Know, I was
who's
about
that
to
for?
Defend the movie agency, but the more you're talking, the more you're making sense.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would he send us that? So it had to be a mistake. I don't even know why that was an option for them to send that to anyone. Like, if you're sending this for review to someone, you're like, here is the shittiest way to watch this movie. Why would you do that? It blows my mind. It blows my mind. So already, I hate watching the film because I can't fucking see anything that's happening. Because if I full screen the movie, it looks like a fucking abstract painting. I can't understand anything that's
like,
going
my
on.
My film kept stopping. And it
oh,
might have been my
really?
Connection, but like... At least 8 times it just stopped. I'm like, what the fuck?
So already I was just like so checked out before the film. So like, yeah, we didn't even get off on the right foot there with that because I was... And then you got to read the fucking subtitles
in
Spanish. Well, they're kind of like in... I don't know. They're just like always there.
The film was English, but the subtitles were in Spanish.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it's like... And they were baked in.
Oh,
like
I see
you had
saying.
To watch
you,
them.
You can't ignore them, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. I was and the acting in this movie.
Oh boy.
Not very good, I'll say. Okay, here's positives. The directing and editing were pretty good. Everything else was pretty standard. Not inoffensive, but the acting was pretty fucking rough in this movie, especially in the opening where they had the former student to the writer who has cancer. They're sitting in a room together, and every time she speaks, it's like that wet, wet sound of the lips smacking. You know what I mean? Where it's just yeah. like, you need to go and drink some milk. I don't know what you gotta do, but you gotta like... Yeah, you gotta fix that. It was bad. It was rough.
This film had a lot of strength in the mystery. Like, I think I've already said this, but film had a lot of strength in the mystery that surrounded the girl, but all the things that we're supposed to pay attention to, mm-hmm. like the ancillary characters, really did not help the film at all. It's supposed to be about the relationship between the protagonist, the writer, and this woman, but I couldn't get behind the writer. I could only just hope to find out what this woman was. And you never do.
Dan, I have a pitch for you for a better film.
Okay.
Because I've been ragging on this, like, kid gets molested by a ghost thing. That isn't even the main focus of this film. It's just like a thing that happens that we find out in a scene. And then it's
But over. The storyline, according to IMDb... Oliver Price is a successful writer whose personal life was marked by a sinister childhood encounter, his sexual awakening at the hands of a dead girl.
Yeah, right.
But the girl is not a girl. She's like 40 years old.
Yeah. And you think it's supposed to be this teenager that he meets, but we don't know what that thing is. So I propose the entire film is about how he is emotionally scarred and just twisted, if you will, by that encounter with the ghost. And that he is spending his entire life in like, you know, he writes stories about it. And eventually he finds out, oh, I have a lead where I can investigate what happened to that ghost lady. So he's like trying to investigate how that woman was murdered or like what's her story while also still in love with her. And it like, then he's going to fight between like, oh, should I die so I can be with her? And it can be like a struggle with him, like wanting to be alive or dead and... Like, just make it about them two. Make it about the ghost lady and him. Get rid of this 19-year-old vampire, in quotes, or whatever that is. And tell me a weird love story between man and ghost. And I'm fucking down for that.
That are in this film spirit?
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that one movie? I think it was called Love? Or was it called... No, The Spring.
As long as it's not Gaspar Noé's Love.
No, it was The Spring. The one where, like, this guy goes to Italy.
And oh, that movie is really good.
Yeah.
That movie is great.
That's what I wanted this movie to be.
Oh, man. Oh, that would have been so much better. Go see The Spring. Oh, no. I've been so mean to this movie.
The Spring is about a guy who tries to find himself in Italy and ends up... falling in love with the really weird
monster
girl with tentacles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely. A Cthulhu lady, which is fucking hot.
Yeah. I still have a Cthulhu lady shirt.
Ooh. from when you went to Italy to get boned by succubus. Yeah, can't recommend this movie. Really bothered me. It sucked. Like
Jesus Christ.
Usually when you, I can't even like think of scenes. Like we usually talk about certain scenes.
No, we talked about the only scene we talked about was the pissing scene.
Yeah, guy pisses his pants. The rest of it's just like dreams and I don't know. It's just a big fucking waste of time. This is the meanest I've ever been to a film.
we're gonna get all of our funding rescinded.
All of our funding from all the big corporations are all gonna rescind.
We're gonna be exiled by the Necropodicon Network.
The movie agency is gonna pull all the screeners. We're gonna be blacklisted. Anywho, okay.
Well, you can find us on Twitter before we get blacklisted at the Indie Film Pod, or Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Please send me your hate mail. You may address it to Dan. Jared is a princess. I am the punching bag.
I am a princess. Guys, you can find us on necropodicon.com. There's a Discord link there. You can come say hello to us. You can say goodbye to us. I don't know. Whatever you're into.
This episode. What?
Yeah, I know, right? Yikes. Yowie, zowie. A lot of really great podcasts on the Necropodicon Network. I would list them all, but my voice is giving out because we've been recording a lot of episodes in a row. Please rate us highly. Or if you were involved in this film, I don't blame you for rating it slowly. It happens. It happens. What can we say? But tell other people about the show if you liked it. And if you didn't like it, tell other people about the show. That'd be weird. But at least you're telling them. And that's what counts. Dan, you have the final word.
Yes, I do. Did you know, Jared? Something wicked this way comes.
Oh. No, I didn't know that.
Well, now you do.
Hey, I'm Brad, and if you like D&D and fantasy stories with lots of magic, adventure, strange beasts, and oddball characters, and comedians with New Zealand accents, then, oh boy, have I got just the show for you. The Fate of Isen is a podcast that has, wait for it, all of those things. Remember those things I mentioned? It's got all of them! Now go listen to The Fate of Isen because it's good and you deserve good things. Fate of Isen, a proud member of the Necropodicon Network.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.